Elizabeth Elliot says, "I realize that I don't spend nearly enough time praising God. I think hymns are a wonderful help. So let me just make that tiny suggestion that you begin your day with thanking the Lord." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor, Keep a Quiet Heart, and Discipline the Glad Surrender. Here's your friend, Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about being alone with God. Time alone with God. And I said yesterday as I began this series that I realized that I'm treading on very thin ice. I have to tread very delicately because I certainly don't want to be dictating to anybody how, when, or where he should spend time with God. I do want to encourage you to let it be in the morning if possible because it does set the tone for your day. But that's something for you to work out according to your schedule, with your family, and with the Lord. I do believe that according to Scripture, the best time is morning. And how much is it worth to you? A listener asked for my little booklet called And When You Pray, and also asked about having devotions for a family. There are many different devotional books that you can find in Christian bookstores, but I would suggest that devotions for family life should certainly include the Bible. If you include other devotional books, that's up to you entirely, of course. But the thing that my father made a point of was reading the Bible. We never had devotional books read to us. Sometimes we had them to use in our private devotions, but in family prayers, we always began with the singing of a hymn, and then my father simply read the Scripture. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion about it. In fact, very seldom was there any. He just read the Bible. And then we got down on our knees and prayed. Rather late in my life, I've been trying to learn the importance of silence. I've always loved silence. I love to be out in the woods or on top of a mountain or someplace where I can hear nothing but the breeze or the rustling trees. That's not the kind of silence I'm talking about. I've been trying to discipline myself to simply stand or sit before the Lord in silence without saying anything to Him, placing myself in His presence. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's worth a try. It might be a good idea to practice spending the first few minutes silently, saying nothing, thinking nothing except, Lord, here I am in your presence. Speak to me. One of the hymns that I use in my own devotional life, I use it as a prayer. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour. Let me see thy face, Lord. Feel thy touch of power. Begin with silence. Put yourself in his presence. Realize his omnipresence. He is here with you in this room. God is everywhere. He is there with you in that car, in that truck. Perhaps you have to have your devotions in the truck. He's looking down on you. He's glad that you're standing before him. Colossians 1:27-2:8 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me." This is the Apostle Paul speaking, of course, of the people for whom he was responsible, a much broader sphere than most of us have. But it would be very applicable, I would think, to either a mother or a father who is seeking to have family devotions with the children. Colossians 1:27 to 2:8. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are, and how firm your faith in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Well, it's a wonderful passage, and one which ought to convince us that we are missing out if we never arrange quiet time with the Lord. Let it be as regular as possible, 7 days a week if possible. Some days you may have to limit it to 5 or 10 minutes, but that's a matter between you and God. You put yourself in his presence. You remember that he's looking down on you. He's glad that you're standing before him, and you are to prepare your heart to listen. One writer says, humble yourself before God. And you know that in Old Testament times, and even today in certain churches, the practice of prostration before the Lord is continued. In other words, lying down flat on your face before God. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you try that in your bed. You'll probably go to sleep. And even if you try it on the floor, you might go to sleep again too. So don't stay there too long. But it's not a bad idea, is it, to put ourselves on our faces before God, at least on your knees. Ask for grace to serve and worship acceptably. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And then read a portion of Scripture, perhaps a psalm, perhaps a chapter in the Gospels. Try to put yourself in the place of the psalmist, or in the story if it's from the Gospels. Ask yourself, what do I learn about God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus? Is there here a command to be obeyed? A sin to be confessed? Is there some cheer here for me or for others who need it? Read and pray. Pray and read. Don't hesitate to pause as you read and talk to God about what you're reading. Is he your Lord and Master, or is he your servant? Do you sometimes find yourself rather petulantly telling God what to do, and then getting mad because he doesn't do it? Well, that's humanistic behavior. Comes quite naturally to all of us. I'm the center of the universe. I need to be happy. I want to go to heaven. I want to accept Jesus so I can get what I want. But as we learn to grow in grace, Christ becomes the center. And we realize that the old self has got to go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And a very important aspect of my devotional life, if you are interested in how that goes, is the use of hymns. How can I emphasize strongly enough the importance of hymns, the old hymns of the church? Let me just suggest four. If you are not familiar with hymns, you might be able to get your hands on these four. Love Divine. Just as I am. Jesus, the very thought of thee. And Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Four different hymns. I'll give you the words. Love Divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Jesus wants to do that, you know. And then the hymn that's used at the end of every single Billy Graham crusade. Just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The third one, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. And the last, beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. May God help you to take time to be alone with Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.